Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy toward us as we gather together for fellowship. Glory to God. Thank you for all your children. We thank you, Lord, because, you know, the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We declare it so today. And we declare that the internet and all the Wi-Fi facilities and so forth be subject to us. Glory to God. Give us victory over all the technical issues and let your name be glorified. Praise the Lord. We're not ignorant of the devices of the devil, and we come against every plan of the enemy to disrupt the going forth of the word of God. The word of God shall not be bound. Flow freely in Jesus' name. Solution we declare forth for all the technical issues. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome, everybody. We are in Romans chapter 8. And as you know, we thank you, those of you who have been here following the lesson. We did have some good feedback interaction yesterday, despite the disruptions in the technical area. It looks like, you know, people did hear most of it. But I don't want to leave anything to chance. Many of you who have been here for a while, there's nothing that we talked about yesterday that's new to you. But there could have been new people that are hearing these things, perhaps for the first time or still trying to understand them. So we want to make sure that, you know, we give opportunity for clarity. Praise the Lord. The lesson in Romans chapter 8 that we are covering is not the entire chapter. We're just covering some verses there for this particular topic. The topic being the sons of God and joint heirs with Christ. And just a few verses in Romans chapter 8 that we are covering. And I will read those verses again to us from verse 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit also itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We've covered, you know, the nature of the Spirit of God and his role and his function. We've covered the particular aspect of he leading and we following. And we've covered also, you know, what it means to be Son of God. Who the sons of God were. Christ being the only begotten, Adam being the created Son of God, and the rest of us being the adopted sons and adopted children of God. We covered what adoption means, the spirit of adoption, and we've covered what being a joint heir with Christ means. I want to dwell a little more on what joint heirs means, particularly because of this last sentence in this text. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So we're going to cover that. First of all, knowing what heirship means is important. That means we are entitled to some inheritance. You know, the scripture describes this inheritance in many ways. You know, it's called
cut off.
Man with the two sons, the younger one saying, divide unto me the portion of the inheritance that falls unto me, you know, that kind of thing. So inheritance is something that someone stands to gain, from the benefactor, and the beneficiary will receive that at some designated time. I want to read a small portion of text about the inheritance in Ephesians chapter 1. I'll talk about that inheritance a little bit here in Ephesians chapter 1. You know, it says, let me read it from, just to give a little context. Okay, I read it from verse 7. In whom we have redemption. Actually, let me just read it from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So right away we see a couple of things there. The choice that God made to select us, he made that choice even before the foundation of the world. And we talked about adoption, being about choice. The parent that are adopting a children, the children or a child, they actually have, the right to choose. It's not like just natural birth when the parents cannot choose what child they will get, or the child cannot choose what parent they will have. In the case of adoption, the parents actually have a choice. So it's a beautiful thing. Sometimes people who are adopted think of themselves as less because they think, these are not my parents. But think of it a different way. They chose you. They could have chosen anybody else, but they chose you. It's a beautiful thing. So rather than feeling, a sense of rejection, actually see it as something that's wonderful because they actually had a choice. They looked at perhaps several.
It's cut off.
So the Lord also, he chose us in him before the world began. And we spoke about God's foreknowledge always preceding his choice. Whom he did foreknow, them he also chose. So he knew us even when we were nowhere to be found, even when we had not existed. God already knew us. And he chose us before the foundation of the world. And what was his choice? Well, his choice was that we will be holy and without blame before him in love. That was the target in his mind. And same thing as saying, he predetermined that we'll be conformed to the image of his son. Those are all the same things. His son is holy and without blame. And he has predestinated us, even before the war began, unto adoption of children. These will be the ones that I will choose. When they come upon the face of the earth, I will choose them. Because God knew whatever the parameters around his choice. He knew that those parameters will be found in us by his grace. And he made that choice even before we arrived. Praise the Lord. Because he had that foreknowledge. And so it's a beautiful thing to know that we are predestinated unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. In whom, this is Christ now, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he had abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, or anywhere else for that matter. You know, when the scriptures talk about heaven and earth, it's just talking about the entire universe. The heaven represented, you know, everything beyond the earth. You know, so in whom also, here's where we're going, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Well, again, what's the predestination? That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom he also trusted after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So that's another thing that the Holy Spirit does for us. God seals his own. The devil also has mark on his own, but God seals his own through his Spirit. The Holy Spirit being the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I mean, this text is so loaded. But the part that I want to bring out is that there is an inheritance coming to us. The promise that we will get it is the earnest God gave us through the Holy Spirit. Us having the Holy Spirit is a, you might call it a down payment, is a guarantee, you know, that's right. It's like a pledge. You know, God put a pledge down that we are coming into that full inheritance by giving us the Holy Spirit. So if we don't have that Holy Spirit, then we are none of his. You know, we read that in Romans, chapter 8. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But because we have the Spirit of Christ, we have that adoption, you know. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. So a lot of powerful, powerful things concerning this inheritance brought to us by God through Christ and sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered to us by him giving us his Spirit. Praise the Lord. So we've talked about that. Then, you know, we know that, you know, God, Jesus said in John 15 and 16, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. So there's none of us here that can say, well, I chose the Lord. No, the Lord said, I chose you first. Praise the Lord, you know. So, and isn't that beautiful, you know, to know that the Lord has chosen us? That should give us no fear. You know, some people have fear, you know, I'll be rejected of God. I will not make it. I mean, God is a terrible and consuming fire and all of that. We covered some of that yesterday. But we should have this confidence. Even as we spoke yesterday, the things that God first revealed about himself in Exodus 34 from verse 5, when he passed before Moses and declared the name of the Lord declaring his own name and declaring his own attributes first things out of his mouth were about his mercy, abundant in goodness, you know, gracious, and his mercy. So the first things he talked about concerning himself, you know, so basically God reintroducing himself to Moses, because Moses said, I want to know you, Lord. Well, so God's thinking, well, I thought you knew a little bit, but let me show you some more. Here is who I am, abundant in mercy and goodness, gracious, forgiving iniquity and transgression and so forth, you know, and being merciful to thousands. And he spoke about all of that. And of course, he spoke about his severity as well, because he's a righteous God. And if you reject, if anyone rejects his goodness and mercy, well, they're going to have to deal with his severity. But first, he put forward his mercy and his goodness. So we really should not be afraid to come towards God. You know, the children of Israel were, they said, we would die if we hear his voice. We covered that yesterday. In Exodus 20, they began to say that. And Moses said, you should not be afraid. God didn't want to kill you. If he wanted to kill you, you'd be dead already. But he wants you to be a kingdom of priests. Come on to him. Have this relationship. But they said, no, we can't do it. So they rejected the voice of God. And that is very tragic. You know, but God is inviting us, you know, get away from fear. Fear has torment. God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And, you know, we see, we even spoke about the man in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 that received the one talent, whereas another one got five, another one got two. He had the one. One of his reasons of not being productive with it was fear. He said, I was afraid. And then I went and hid your talent. Well, you know, the Bible is telling us here in Romans chapter 8, get rid of that fear. You know, come unto God with boldness. That's what Hebrews tells us. Let us come to the throne of grace with boldness. Get rid of that fear. We know our God is a consuming fire, but not like that to us when we are his children. You know, praise God. It's a consuming fire against all unrighteousness. Our God, take. Come. And again, you know, the place of fear at the end is a terrible place. Revelation 21 verse 8. All the evil things like whoremongers, adulterers, fornicators, manslayers, all the evil, you know, the fearful are placed right along with them. You know, the fearful will have to deal with being cast away from his presence into everlasting judgment. You know, so let's get rid of that fear. There is no reason for fear, because God has not given us that spirit of fear. So we cover that also. We do have a spirit of adoption, spirit of boldness. You know, you call him your father. You know, praise God. And Jesus, he came to introduce that more than anything else. In the scriptures, in the Old Testament, maybe one or two places we see Isaiah saying, but thou art our father. But other than that, most of the time they did not, could not relate to God as their father. And Jesus was always trying to teach that. He would say, your heavenly father. You know, and every time, even when he told them, I mean, taught them how to pray, he said, well, our father in heaven. And he would say, your heavenly father. And he would always say, your heavenly father. And always trying to curate that relationship, or help them get into that relationship of our Heavenly Father. So we ought to see God like that. Call him Abba, Father, you know. You can have some loving titles for him as well, you know. Call him your Heavenly Father. Call him Daddy. Call him anything you want. He's your Father. Praise the Lord, you know. So yeah, let's enjoy that relationship with him. You know, we are his children. Now, if we are children, then we are also joint heirs with Christ, who was his only begotten Son from even before the world began, just like we were also sons. You gave me, I have also given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. See, that's the glory of God. The glory of God is to bring us into oneness with the Christ. That's the glory of God. The glory of God puts Christ in oneness with the Father. He's the, according to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, he's the express image of God and the brightness of his glory. When we come into that as well, Jesus bridging a forever gap that was there. Isaiah 42 verse 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, nor my praise. I share my praise with graven images or anything like that. I'll not give my glory to another. This generation, that gap was there for generations. That God will not give his glory to another. Jesus came and bridged that gap. He said, I have given it to them. Glory to God. What God said, I will never give to anybody else. Jesus said, I have given it to them. Glory to God. Thine it was, you gave it to me, and I have the right, and I gave it to them. In fact, one place Jesus said, this commandment I have received of my Father, to give eternal life to whosoever come unto me. The Son has his life in himself because the Father gave it to him, and he gives it to whomsoever. So God has entrusted into Christ so many things, just like he entrusted to Adam. In the beginning, God entrusted rulership to Adam, and directorship. Adam was in charge. Whatever Adam said, that was the going of it. Adam called the name of something, something, that was the name of it till this day. You think about this, when you go to call this one, and a man would just speak for it. He didn't even have to think too long. He would just speak it forth, because the knowledge of God was couched inside him like that. And so, God demonstrating the same thing to us in Christ. That just like he gave Adam dominion over all things, even though he later fell through disobedience. Made some bold declarations like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and 6. You can't get it. With me where I am, that they will see my glory that I have with thee. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus prayed these things for us. But let's talk about that. For us to share in that glory, let's talk about that today. What's it going to take? Well, there's a story I want to tell you, or retell. I've told it before on this platform. I want to tell you a story of Christ after his resurrection. And you find the story in Luke chapter 24, as a couple of his disciples were taking a road trip to a place called Emmaus. And they were talking about all the things, that had happened that weekend, and they were sad. So Jesus, somehow, he joined them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know that it was him. So Jesus said to them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk? And why are you sad? And they say, well, why would we not be sad? You know, I mean, are thou only a stranger? Yeah, are you a JJC? Johnny just come, as we say. Don't you know all these things that have happened? And Jesus said, what things? And just engaging them in conversation. So they began to tell him, a man, you know, a man of God, mighty prophet, deed, a word, came before, you know, people, was sent from God. Name was Jesus of Nazareth. And the chief priests and rulers delivered him and condemned him to death, you know, crucified him. And we had trusted that he would have been the one that would have redeemed us from all these Romans and so on. You know, and today is the third day since these things were done. And even some of our company, some of the women in our company went to his sepulchre and they, you know, they were astonished and so forth. They empty. Didn't find his body. And they were saying all these things. You know, and they said to us that they saw a vision of angels and that Christ is alive and we're troubled about these things. We don't understand this. You know, so Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, this is Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Now, this is the question where I'm going to. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So we see the pattern. Now, remember, it will be conformed to the image of Christ. The road to glory for Christ was through his sufferings. He said it right here. You know, and he even called them fools for not having that understanding. Well, you know, if the road to glory for Christ was through his sufferings, and if the servant cannot be greater than the master, and Jesus said, if they have done these things in a green tree, what would they do in a dry? Then we who want to reign and be glorified with him must also suffer with him. Or for him. This is what this verse is talking about. That if we suffer with him, we might also be glorified with him. Well, let's talk about what that suffering might look like. You know, there are many kinds of suffering. Some of them could be in many forms. It's stronger when it's really, you know, when it really comes against people like that strongly. But there are different forms and there are different, you know, sufferings. You know, sometimes the suffering for Christ may also be a choice, you know, that we need to make. You know, Jesus said, no man can be my disciple unless first they make up their mind to deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. You know, so deny yourself there also means, well, there are certain things, you know, that you may have to give up for the sake of Christ. You know, young people in circles, you know, they like to be accepted by their friends and so forth. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, when you stand up for Christ, it may not be a popular thing among the circles of your friends. You may have to give that up. It's a choice that we have to make daily. You know? Have to deny yourself, you know. And sometimes when we don't want to face the possibility of rejection, we shy away from talking to somebody who we think might throw it back in our face. Well, if they're going to throw it back in your face, and then because of that, you don't tell them what you would have or should have told them about the Lord, well, that means you haven't denied yourself yet. You're still concerned about the shame or the disgrace or the rejection. And unless you hate your own life, Jesus said, forsake your own life and cleave on to, you know, the sufferings for Christ. I mean, we don't necessarily look to suffer for Christ, but we embrace it when it comes. And that's the difference. line. They were singing praises. When Peter and John, after, after they had healed the man at the gate, and they were taken by the Pharisees and the chief priests and so forth, they were glad that they had the opportunity to suffer for Christ. They embraced these sufferings. The early disciples, they embraced these sufferings too. There are some scriptures that encourage us to endure hardness and sufferings for Christ, especially when you know that there is a glory afterward to be revealed. Paul talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." This hardness may be some things that you have to go through, difficult things because of being in Christ. You may have to give up other things that would have been easier in the marketplace, in your workplace. Maybe you could have gotten away with, some unrighteousness and different things, but because you are in Christ, you give all that up. You may suffer losses, but you choose Christ and you suffer, for him and with him like that. And Jesus himself promised us, and many scriptures tell us, and we're going to read some of them, that if, we suffer with him, then we shall also reign with him. Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 12, we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us, so that's a dangerous place to be. Suffering for Christ, same thing, as Romans chapter 8 verse 17 is talking about. If we suffer with him, then we should also be glorified. And he went through a lot of sufferings, praise the Lord. So the things that he went through, sufferings, the shame, the disgrace, and etc., he had to put up with that because he said, he was looking forward to the glory. Despise the shame, endure the cross because of the glory that was ahead of him. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm getting some notes that some people are experiencing interruptions, but I just got to keep going and try to get through this. Try various things if you're experiencing interruptions. Do a PTR pull to refresh your screen, switch from internet to data, or vice versa, or whatever. I know the trouble is from here, but I don't have a solution to it. So, here is another scripture that the Lord gives us, about us suffering for Christ, Remember, we want to share in his glory. Well, we must also share in his sufferings. That's the road. That was the road to glory for Christ. And it's the road to glory for us as well. perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Well, it's after. Well, why don't we get it before? Why is it after? Well, that's the way God ordained it. You know, and it becomes much more precious when we get it after enduring. As a matter of fact, Christ would put out a lot of promises in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And he would say things like, to him that overcometh, will I do this and will I do that? You know, and you know, we got to overcome and endure these sufferings for Christ. Jesus said, if a man, you know, you stand up for can be a terrible thing. I pray that none of us will ever have to deal with that. You know, if the Lord will say, I don't know you, that's a denying. That, well, when we ourselves are standing up for him, and that's when he will profess our name. The name will be thrown into the mix of those that will receive his glory. That's right. You know, so the glory is for all, but not all will receive it, because if we are not willing to suffer for him, we may not be a partaker of that glory. Praise the Lord. So those are some of the things to point out in today's lesson. The nature of Christ that the Bible says we will inherit. God has preordained us to be conformed to his image. You know, he has ordained that we will be like Christ. Well, the Gospels reveal the human life, or human side of Jesus' life, and see how he did many things. One of his characteristics was that he was always subject to the Father. There was nothing he did without the is what the Holy Spirit is to us now. You know, as Jesus listened to the Father in all things, we also must listen to the Holy Spirit in all things. You must be guided by him. As a matter of fact, that's one of the qualifications or characteristics of the sons of God in our lead-off text in verse 14 of Romans 8. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we are so led, not one day and the next day we are obstinate, no. We must be led all the time. In the book of Psalm 32 and verse 8, the Lord gives this promise to lead us, but there is a caution in verse 9. So let's read Psalm 32. Verses 8 and 9. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou should go, and I will guide you with my eye. Well, that's one of the things Jesus said. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you, he will lead you to all truth. But verse 9 gives us a caution, a warning. But be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. And, you know, they cannot be gently led, not like this sheep. No, they have to put bits and bridle in their mouth and chuck them around like that before they would do the right thing. Those who are ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth, we must learn and we must follow where he leads. Praise the Lord. And last but not the least, the scripture says that as Christ is, 1 John chapter 4 verse 17, as Christ is in this world, so are we. Well, Christ went through a lot of things from childhood to sonship, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is presented or given. For Christ, that about 30 years of age at that time. Well, for us also, Galatians chapter 4 talks about, you know, coming in into this family of God as a baby to start with. Well, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. When we are born by not the will of man, but the incorruptible word of God, you know, then we must begin to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Praise the Lord. But that growth, you know, is a process. And the child is born, it takes a while. The child is, unlike Adam, who was an instant son of God. Well, Christ was not when he came on the earth. He was born as a baby. Had to go through some stuff. You know, God made him go through that to learn obedience and all of these things. And show us that we also must go through that. You know, it takes a process. John 1 and 12. As many as received him, give power to become sons of God. So it's a process of becoming. You know, become, when we come into the fullness of the knowledge of the Son of God, we shall also obtain a measure of the stature of his fullness. That's how Christ was in this world. That's how we must also be. And even now, we are already sons, but it doesn't quite yet appear, according to 1 John 3 and 2, what we shall be. Either because we're still babies and we don't really know who we are yet, or because, you know, for some reason God's still working on us in certain areas. That was what we dealt with in Romans chapter 7. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me conclude by saying that there is a glory that is to be revealed in us, and the trials or tribulations or the testings or challenges of this present time that we're heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man, but the Holy Spirit is revealing it. What God has in store for those whom he has chosen. You know, so let us hold on to the Lord. Let's hold on to the Lord. You hold on to the Lord, and you hold on to the Lord. No matter what's going on, when we get down to the later verses of Romans 8, we're going to see that the present sufferings in verse 18 that we are going through cannot be compared to the glory that is to be revealed in us. We're going to be talking more about that glory. The whole creation, we're told, is even waiting for that glory, and we're going to step into it. We will talk more about what the sons of God will look like when they are glorified, when they come into their state, which the Holy Spirit is working. He said, you know, purify and cleanse it and present it to himself, a glorious church, not having its spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. What's that going to look like? But hopefully between yesterday and today you got it. And I want to just pray over the room, and then I'm going to open it up for us to discuss freely. And they're coming also, you know, into their glorification. There is, oh Lord, the promise of God and the prayer that Jesus prayed for us, you know, that we will receive the glory that he has bestowed upon us. Now, Lord, give us understanding concerning these things. Help us to shape our minds by the word of God, by the Spirit of God, and make ourselves vessels ready for the Master's use. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory, Lord. Thank you for the continuation of these discussions and these lessons. Pray that the Spirit of God direct our minds and our discussions and our thoughts, even as we continue to share on these things. And as it is written, Book of Malachi said, in the end of time, the children of God, one saint spake often to another concerning the name of the Lord and these things that we're speaking often. You know, and the Lord heard it and wrote it in a book of remembrance before him. May our words be pleasing to the Lord, and make them into, that they will make it into the books of remembrance. As we speak wholesome words to one another in fellowship. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.